Boy, what fireworks in the House Judiciary Committee yesterday.
Yeah, talk about amazing. There was the Attorney General Pam Bondi was talking to members of Congress about, well, ICE operations, essentially. And then, of course, it was the main focus was the Epstein files. As you know, the Justice Department was ordered by a judge to release all of the Epstein files. It took the Justice Department 2 months to release some of them. And then the rest of them, apparently, are still in a sealed room where members of Congress can go in and see them, but they're not allowed to take anything out. They're not allowed any electronics. They're only allowed to put notes on pieces of paper. So they can go in with a piece of paper and a pen, essentially.
No.
And yesterday, the Attorney General was asked about that and about whether she would apologize to the Epstein victims, 11 of whom were in the hearing room, who said that they had asked for and were repeatedly denied a meeting with the Department of Justice. So they stood up when Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal said, you know, do you want to apologize to these victims? And the Attorney General wouldn't even look at them. And she accused Jayapal of theatrics and of being unprofessional. And then, under questioning from Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin, she got into a shouting match with him. She said he was not even a lawyer, and that he was washed up, et cetera. By the way, Jamie Raskin is a constitutional expert, a law professor, and a lawyer. And he kept trying to school her on how committees work and how the members of the committees ask the questions, and she answers them. It was more of a shouting match than anything else.
Yeah,
it sounded like that she had gone into that committee hearing with some opposition research on every Democrat there.
She absolutely did. And I'll tell you something else that came up in the hearing that Jayapal brought to light was that when Jayapal and other members of Congress were allowed into the secure room to look at the Epstein files, their computer searches were surveilled. And so the Attorney General knew exactly what files they were looking at and were essentially spying on them, which would be unlawful. And she did not deny it. So Jayapal brought that to light. And, you know, things have just gone from bad to worse when it comes to release of the Epstein files. One of the things Bondi tried to do was continue to divert the conversation to other issues by attacking members of the committee for, as she put it, attacking this president, and then trying to shift the focus to the economy thing, all of the things that he has done for the economy. So that, again, required the members of Congress to remind her that that was not the subject of the hearing.
Mm-hmm. Linda, now you talked about this room the legislators could go into to view these files. They were ordered to release all of the files. Why can they go in and view them, but they're not released yet?
That's one of the main questions, of course. And the victims of Epstein, who are demanding release of all of the files, we even had a press conference on Capitol Hill, not just yesterday, but previous occasions as well, calling for a release of the files, saying that they had nothing to hide and that they wanted justice, have felt that they've been rebuked by the Department of Justice, and that the Department of Justice has not followed the law in terms of releasing the files. Now, the Department of Justice says, you know, look, we had millions of files, and it takes time to go through these with redactions. The victims and those who are advocates on their behalf are saying, you have redacted the incorrect things, and you have not redacted the correct things. And basically, they are accusing the Department of Justice of messing this up.
This kind of reminds me, again, of Watergate. And if you remember Watergate, the White House tapes, those infamous White House tapes that the Nixon administration did not want released, but finally they had to be released. I'm trying to remember how that happened, but somehow or another they got released, and that was in their entirety. And that 13 minutes that was missing, that was enough to end the president's career in politics.
Well, it was a very different time. You know, the president at the time did resign partly because of realizing that things were going to probably get a lot worse for him. This is a different kind of president. Things have gotten worse for him on several occasions, and he is not somebody to apologize for, well, anything. And he is not somebody to back down on. And so the rules of decorum, if you will, the certain traditions of the federal government, be it at the White House or on Capitol Hill, are a very different thing today than they were back in the Nixon era.
Well, we didn't have a lot of the, we had tape recordings. We didn't have digital recordings. We didn't have email. We didn't have any of that stuff. So it was right. Not as easy to track all this stuff down. But I think my point is, once the obvious came out, everybody agreed that this had to end. And I think Gerald Ford called it the national nightmare. And this is kind of where we're going with this, I think.
Well, again, as in most things in politics, it depends upon what side you're on, per se, and your viewpoint on it. Things are just viewed very differently nowadays. And we've got the 24-hour news cycle. We have so many different news outlets than we ever had before. And you would think that that would cause people perhaps to move faster in terms of either getting in front of a scandal or an alleged scandal, or stepping away from the scandal or alleged scandal. But apparently, it doesn't work that way.
Now, who is it that said there's no such thing as bad publicity? As long as they're talking about you.
And as long as they spell your name right.
Yeah, because it seems like you have people that are opposed, people that are for, and then there's this area in the center where it's foggy. People don't know what's going on. They don't know what to make of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there is that saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Good publicity is good. Bad publicity is good because it keeps a certain person or an issue top of mind. But again, it depends on your point of view. Do you want that particular issue or person on top of mind, or do you want to step out of the spotlight? In this case, we have a president who likes to be in the spotlight, as you can well imagine a president might be.
So what happens tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning, we don't know. The Department of Homeland Security could be running out of funding by tomorrow morning or maybe tomorrow afternoon. There is some opposition in Congress to passing not only a funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which was pulled aside from other appropriations bills because of the actions of ICE and demands to change the way ICE operates, but because there may also be a disagreement on passing another short-term CR or a continuing resolution, which would continue the present funding, which, by the way, is last year's funding levels, for at least another 2 weeks. So kicking the can down the road again, as they say. We have a number of Democrats and some Republicans who are saying they are not getting any traction on their demands for changes in the way ICE operates, for example, wearing masks, wearing badges of some kind so that the public knows what agency they're from, changes in training, et cetera. And so the Democrats are not likely to support a DHS renewal at this point. And so there could be a shutdown, a partial shutdown.
Well, Homeland Security doesn't have the best reputation right now. And that's unfair to TSA workers and people who work at FEMA. But because of ICE and ICE activities, I think a lot of people are saying, Homeland Security, shut them down.
A lot of people are saying that. But again, they could be swept up in that discussion, a much larger event that could affect a lot more people. Now, there is a bill that is being floated in the House that a Democratic representative discussed yesterday that would fund the Department of Homeland Security except for ICE, basically strip that part out and deal with that part later. But if it's in the House, it still has to go to the Senate. And if you look at the calendar, February 13th is when current funding ends. I don't know if Congress, certainly not both houses of Congress, could move anywhere near as fast as to avoid a potential shutdown.
And by the way, it's Friday the 13th.
Oh, no, that doesn't help.
Now,
Homeland Security, that includes Customs and Border Protection, TSA, ICE, the Secret Service.
FEMA.
FEMA, the list goes on and on.
Oh, Secret Service?
Yeah, cybersecurity and infrastructure.
Oh, my gosh.
U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Federal Protective Service, and Federal Law Enforcement Training Centers. So that's 250,000 people that are under that.
Thus the call to strip out ICE funding, which is the heart of the disagreement, and deal with that separately.
Well, ICE has enough money, don't they, from the one big beautiful bill to last them until, what, this fall?
Well, they have enough money for a while, but they could burn through that. What do they call in the federal government? The burn rate. That's how fast they go through their funding.
So what else is happening in D.C. today that you're going to be chasing?
There's going to be more hearings up on Capitol Hill, which is on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue from where I'm standing right now. Congress is going to be dealing, obviously, with those funding issues. But at the White House today, the president is supposed to sign a bill rolling back what is known as the endangerment ruling, which said that carbon dioxide, et cetera, endanger public health and welfare. And those were a lot of that endangerment finding led to the various legislation in the past several decades to curb greenhouse gas emissions by thereby cutting down pollution. The president's going to sign an order today that will roll back the endangerment finding. And that means that fuel efficiency on cars, various pollution standards, et cetera, will no longer apply. It also means, according to the president, that regulations that were in place will no longer be in place, and thereby it will help spur economic growth. So he's putting the economy above, as many critics would say, above the health of the American people.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome. Have a good day.